amen. Hug somebody's neck. Give them a high five. Kiss them on the cheek. Give them a knuckle bump. Tell them I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. How about put your hands together and give some love for that worship team this morning? They was tearing it up. I love that song right there. I'll just tell you right quick. I love that song. I love that song. Light a match and let it go and set ablaze uncontrolled. I want that fire. How many of you know that's what you and I need? We need to get our fire back for the Lord. You can pray this prayer. You can pray that prayer. You can seek this thing. You can get that problem. You can get that problem solved. But at the end of the day, when you're on fire for the Lord, nothing else seems to matter in this life. And I, you know what? I just love to have a church of people that are on fire. And I'll tell you about it, we're Assemblies of God Church, and back in the early days when we started preaching over here, man, like the Assemblies of God, the old traditional Assemblies of God folk, like they gave me nine kinds of hell for being wild and being crazy, you know? Like, you think I'm crazy now, you should have been here 20 years ago. We used to do all kind of crazy stuff. We set stuff on fire. We had this sign one time. Have y'all seen those signs that they have like a red arrow with yellow flashing lights and you can paste the message that you want on there? You put them on the side of the road. We put one out in front of the old church down there one time. Said this, read the Bible. It'll scare the hell out of you. And I mean, they was calling me and they didn't thought I wasn't saved. And so one guy named J.C. Ambrin from Haskell, Texas, he was our presbyter. He was the elected leader in this section of the Assemblies of God. And he would always say this to them people that was calling and tattling on me. He said, well, all I know to tell you is this, a little wildfire is better than no fire at all. Come on, somebody. And so you know what? We need to be on fire for the Lord, on fire for God, not just on Sunday, not just when Connor's singing the songs we like, not just when Cody's preaching what I want to preach. We need to be on fire for the Lord on Monday and on fire on Tuesday, on fire on Thursday, on fire when we're getting our prayers answered, on fire when death is happening, on fire when sickness is in. We need to be on fire for the Lord 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and it will change our life. Yeah, oh Lord Jesus. Six of us on fire for the Lord here today. I tell you what we're going to do. That was extra, so sorry. Let me just say this to you. Welcome to Bethlehem this morning. Glad you're here. What I want us to do this morning is I want us to take just a couple of minutes, and I want us to pray for the nation of Israel. I am no student of prophecy. You know that. I'm no deep theological, deep spiritual guy. I don't totally understand prophecy. I don't totally understand what's going on, nor do I believe anybody does. But I believe Scripture teaches us that we can look at the signs and we can look at the seasons and we can see things that are happening, and we would know that the day of the return of Christ is getting closer and closer. And so I know this, Jesus is the King of the Jews. I know that the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. And I know right now that there is evil and there is wickedness and there is darkness and there is murder and pain coming against the nation of Israel right now. And here's what I know about the Word of God. The Scripture says in Psalm 122:6, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment and we're just going to pray. I'm going to pray. I want you to pray with me. I want to give you another Scripture, because you say, Cody, why is that significant to me? Because Jesus is our Savior and He's the King of the Jews, and the Jewish nation is His people. And let me tell you what the Scripture says about that. Genesis 12:2, it says, I will make you a great nation, Israel, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Watch this. God says, I will bless those who bless you, Israel. I will bless those, and those who dishonor you, I will curse them, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So I just want you to know today, we stand with Israel. We stand with the Jewish people. Our King and our Savior is the King of the Jews. And let me tell you something else, and I'm not going to go really political on you, but I'm going to tell you something. Pray for that our nation would be a nation that would stand with the Jewish people, because God says, if you bless Israel, I will bless you. And how many of you know we need the blessings of God the Father in America today? We're going to pray. We're going to pray right now. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and agree with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you that you are our King, that you are our Savior. And so today we stand in the gap, and we pray for the Jewish people. We pray for the nation of Israel right now. Lord, we pray for peace to be in that place. And Lord, however peace may come, Lord, we pray that Netanyahu would have wisdom, that he would have courage. Lord, we pray that you would give them rockets and guns and all kinds of warfare to come against Hamas and to come against evil and to come against rape and to come against all the things that they're doing right now. Lord, we pray that Israel would rise up and they would destroy evil and destroy the wickedness that's invading them. And we pray for peace once again. Lord, they're your people. We stand in the gap. We call on your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. So I would encourage you to be in prayer with them, for them, the rest of this week. Ephesians chapter number 1. We're in a study in the book of Ephesians. Today we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If you have your phone, you have your iPad, you have your Bible, whatever you may have, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. We'll read that, and then we'll unpack it and see what the Holy Spirit would say to us and challenge us with here today. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 5 and 6 says, He, being God, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Holy Spirit, do what you would do in this place. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, predestination. The topic of discussion today is predestination. Predestination. Cody, what does that mean? What does it mean if God has predestined us? What does predestined mean? It means foreordained. It means to appoint beforehand. It means to foreordain. God has predestined us to be adopted into His family. Here's what we need to know. Here's what I want every one of us to understand in here today. We need to understand this, that at one time in our life, we were all far from God and we were separated from God. We were separated because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God is a righteous God. God is a holy God. God is a just God. And He can have nothing to do with evil, with sin, and with darkness. And because you and I were born with the sin nature, we were born into this sinful world, we were fallen man, we were separated from our Heavenly Father. You need to understand that. You need to know that. I know now, because I know now that you're close to God. I know now that you love God. I know now that you're better than you used to be, but you need to know that the only way that we could be close to God and the only way that we could come into relationship with God is because of everything that His Son Jesus Christ did on the cross, and it's nothing that we've done ourselves. Sometimes in the church, we get just a little bit self-righteous. See, we're better than we used to be. Can I hear a good amen? We was jacked up, far up, fouled up, screwed up, and living in dysfunction away from God. And now we've come to God and we start going to church a little bit. And we get just a little bit self-righteous in the church. And we think we're just a little bit better than everyone else around us. And we think that we are where we are and we've got what we got because we're cool and because we got a little swag and because we decided to start living right. Can I tell you that mine and your righteousness is as nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God the Father? That if we could work our way back to God and if we could do enough righteous acts to come into relationship with God the Father, Jesus would have never had to die the sacrificial death on the cross. The only reason that you and I have hope in this world, the only reason that you and I have a relationship with Heavenly Father is because of everything Jesus did and nothing that we've done. And the quicker that we can understand that, the quicker that we can understand it's not me, but it's Him that brings right relation, that will bring an attitude of gratitude. It will bring thankfulness to our hearts, and it will change everything in our lives. We were once far from God, but now, Ephesians 2:13 says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood, y'all. It's the blood that brings us. It's the blood that forgives us. It's the blood that cleanses us. It's the blood that brings us into a blood covenant with God the Father where we can have a relationship with Him. And now, Galatians 4:6. And because we're sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father. Do you realize you're a child of God? Come on, somebody. You're not the, let me ask you something. Can we be real for a minute? How many of you got step families? You don't have to raise your hand. But you got step families. And I'm just being real with you, and I ain't trying to be ugly, and I ain't trying to shame nobody, but you got step kin folk. And you show up to the family reunion, and just like, you know, the blood kin, just a little different than the step kin. Come on, somebody. Like, it's okay. You can be real. Like, if you was in a Baptist church, you couldn't be real about that. But since you're down here, we can be real about it. Like, you show up, and you love them, and they're good people, and I'm not saying anything's bad about them, but they're just stepkids. They're not kin to you by blood. They married into this a little bit different. And so some of us have that mentality in the body of Christ. We feel like we're the stepkids. We feel like nobody loves us. We feel like God doesn't love us. We feel like we're just that one little bastard child that gets to come to the family reunion. Can I tell you something? That is absolutely false, and that is absolutely a lie. There are only one way that any of us get to be called sons and daughters. There is only one way that we get to cry, Abba, Father, and be adopted in the family of God, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what the blood of Jesus Christ does? It brings equality to the bottom body of Christ. It means that we're all the same, and we're all sons and daughters, and God celebrates and loves every one of us the same amount. We cry, Abba, Father. He's our Father. We once were far from God. Now we have been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We were predestined to be adopted into His family. We are now sons and daughters of God. We're now brothers and sisters. Look around, look around, look around, look around a little bit. Look at the person next to you. Look at the person behind you. That's your brother and that's your sister in Jesus Christ. Now, I know they look dysfunctional, but so do you. You ain't looking at you, you're looking at them. We're all that way. We're all sons and daughters. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all heirs. We're all joint heirs. We've been predestined to be adopted in the family of God. So what does that mean, predestination? What does it mean? See, there's a dangerous, dangerous doctrine going around today, and I talked to you about it a little bit last week. It's this Reformed theology where it says you're predestined and you have no choice. You're predestined. You're predestined to do this. You're predestined to marry this one. You're predestined to have this career. You're predestined to do this. There's this theory out there right now called Reformed theology that says we're predestined and you can't change it. And can I tell you, it is absolute fallacy. It is absolute false doctrine. It does not line up with the Word of God, and it is a lie from the pit of hell. Predestined, does predestined mean that our lives are totally planned out, that we have no choice? Predestination, does it mean that what we do and how we live our life doesn't matter and it doesn't have an effect on our eternal destiny? Does it mean that everything is totally laid out and I have no choice? Absolutely not. God has given us free will. God has given us the opportunity to choose which path we would go down and how we would live our life. It's such a dangerous way to live. It's a dangerous, do you understand? If you said to your kids, Will, Jesse, Clara, you're predestined. You're going to be rich. You're going to be famous. You're going to be smart. You're going to have a good truck and a big house, and you're going to own ranches, and you never have to work, and you never have to choose, and you never have to do nothing. If that's the way we raised up our children, we would raise up entitled children that think that everybody owes them everything, and they never have to work for anything. What a parallel to the country we're living in right now. We have raised up a previous couple of generations that said, you don't have to work. You don't have to get a job. You don't have to choose. Sit on your butt. You deserve everything. You're entitled. And we've given them everything that they want. And we raised up a rotten generation. Come on, somebody. Predestined. We're predestined to be adopted in the family of God. But you and I have to make some choices and we have to choose. I'm going to tell you something today. Predestination. God has predestined plans for you. Sneed, God has predestinated plans for you. Riley, predestinated plans for you. Tyler, predestined plans for you. Wade, He has predestined plans for you. Can I tell you what the plans are that God has for you, Breck? He has plans to lead you down a path of life. He has plans to lead you into green pastures. He has plans to lead you beside still waters. He has plans to restore your soul when you're struggling. He has plans to take us down the path of righteousness. He has plans for us to live a life of no fear. He has plans to live a life where we are protected by the staff of God. He has plans for us to walk in the anointing. He has plans for us where goodness and mercy will follow us all of our days. But you and I, we have to choose to walk in His way, in His will, as opposed to our will or as opposed to what culture says. There's people nowadays that say, oh, God's good. God's great. God's awesome. God's mighty. God loves me. God wants to bless me. And I can live my life however I want to live. And I'm still going to live in the blessings of God. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If you and I want the blessings of God to be upon our life, we have to make a choice to choose His way and not our way. Can I tell you something right quick? Choosing the will and the way of God, it's hard. Come on, somebody. Don't sit out there and act like your life is easy. Don't sit out there and act like you don't want to cuss somebody, whip somebody, or you don't want to divorce your spouse and go find somebody else. Come on now. Don't act like your life is rosy. Don't act like everything is going on. But if I want to choose to serve God in the middle of struggle, in the middle of trial, it is hard, y'all. It's very hard. And we got to understand that because we've raised up a culture of people in the church that says, it's easy. Trust God, love God. Everything's going to be great. Lick your lollipop, shine your shoes, throw your shoulders back, and declare that you're a child of God. And you're going to get everything that you want. No, it's hard to choose daily, to choose hourly, to choose every moment. Matthew 7, I love this scripture. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus declares it to you and I. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter into the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and easy is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go that way. Verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The narrow gate. Tough, hard is it to hit the narrow gate. Now, we're cowboys around here, right? Come on, y'all. How many know you can drive? It's easier to drive a cow through a big wide gate than it is to drive her through a little narrow gate. Come on, somebody. It's easy. It's easy to go down the wide gate. It's easy for me to live my life. It's easy for me to do what culture says. It's easy for me to do. It's easy for me to buy into to what's going on in America. It's easy for me to buy into the LGBTQ plus AHCBDGYS community. It's easy for me to buy into abortion. It's easy for me to buy into divorce and just get rid of and find you another one. It's easy to buy in. I don't have to work. It's easy to do what the world is doing, but it's harder to do what God says. But what we do, what God says, it leads to life, and it leads to life more abundantly. It's easy to go through the wide gate. Hard. It's hard to follow God. It's hard. It takes work. We have a bunch of people that don't want to work in the world, and they certainly don't want to work for their spiritual health. Work. You got to work. You got to pray. You got to read. You got to dig in. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes focus. How many of you know the enemy is a champion at getting us distracted from the most things that are important in our life? Focus. You got to focus on your spiritual journey. It takes persistence. Come on, y'all. It takes persistence. Just because you missed the narrow gate in this season doesn't mean that you suck and you're headed to hell. It means you got to suck it up and be persistent and say, next season, I'm focused and I'm going to hit the narrow gate. You got to be persistent. You got to work. You got to have some mental toughness, y'all. Come on, somebody. I'm sorry, but I'm just so tired of this mental stuff. You know what I mean? I get it. I understand. We're all weak-minded at some point in our life, but God has given us the power to renew our mind and strengthen the mind. And sometimes you just got to suck it up and say, I'm going to do this thing for the kingdom of God, and I'm not buying into the lies of culture. Just saying, y'all. I love you. I'm telling you that. Beyond the narrow gate. How many know God has great plans for you? Come on, somebody. You got to believe that. Look at me. Look at me. God has great plans for you. God has great plans for you. You know what? You know what God has planned for you? 1 Corinthians 2:9. Your eyes have never seen. Your ears have never heard. Neither has entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you and I. But you got to focus and work and hit the narrow gate if you want those things. You want a life of mediocrity? You want to live a life of normalcy? You want to just live a life where there's not the greatest things? It's just kind of this like this, just level. No, no, no. I've never been a level guy in my whole life. Come on, somebody. People talk about balance. I said, the only time I know anything about balance is when I was swinging by balance from one side of the extreme to the other. You want to live the blessings of God, the greatest things of God, the things that will blow your mind, the things that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond, all that you can ask or think. Work hard and hit the narrow gate. Work hard and hit the narrow gate. We quote the scripture. It's the most quoted scripture ever, Jeremiah 29:11. For God, I know the plans God has for me. Plans to prosper me and not harm me. Give me a future and a hope. Yep, it's true. But you got to work hard. You got to hit the narrow gate. You got to hit the narrow gate. Come on, somebody. Y'all listen to what I'm saying to you today? If you don't leave here, you don't take nothing else away from here today. Understand this. God has gone before you, and God has prepared a way, and God has predestined blessings for you to walk into that will blow your socks off and boggle your mind. But if you want to step into those blessings and live them out, you better suck it up, buttercup, and you better fight like hell to get over there to get the rewards of heaven. Because it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. I could just preach so much, but I can't. Yes, I can, because I'm a pastor, and I have a pastor's heart, and I don't always get it right, and sometimes I get it wrong, and sometimes I lack in the areas of grace and mercy. I know all my flaws. I know all my failures, but I'm going to tell you what is disheartening and what breaks my heart is to see people that I love, to see people that will gather on Sunday morning and to know that they want more, but they've bought the lie that they can be mediocre. They bought the lie that they can just give a little bit to God, and you're missing out on the blessings of God, and you're living one life on Saturday night and another life on Sunday morning, and I'm not trying to judge you, and I'm not saying I'm better than you. I'm saying I want all God has for you, and I can preach until I'm blue in the face, and Connor can sing until he can't sing no more, and people can pray until they can't pray no more. But until you make up your mind, you're going to honor God and hit the narrow gate, you're never going to receive the greatest blessings from God. And it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. I'm just saying to y'all, because I want the best. For your predestination, here's a story in Luke chapter 15. We're going to read it. It's about 10 verses. Luke chapter 15, story known as the prodigal son. I believe it's got an amazing story in it about choosing to live in the predestined plans of God. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 24. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 24. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them, dear Lord, how many of you know you got to watch them younger sons? Come on, somebody. Jesse Pate. And the younger of the sons said to the father, Father, give me my inheritance. Give me the property that's coming to me. Give me my inheritance early. So the father divided the inheritance up, and he gave it to his two sons. Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had. Full of pride, full of arrogance, full of pee and vinegar, going to go charge the world, live his life. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into the far country, far from his father, and he squandered his property on reckless living, wasted it all. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, but when he had this moment where he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread to eat, but I'm perishing with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your slaves. And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put some shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let's eat. Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they begin to celebrate. It's the story of this father. Gave half of the inheritance to one of his sons. Do you think, listen to me, look at me. Do you think that this father actually had predestined for his youngest son to turn into a little whoremonger? Do you think this father's, I'm just going to give my son all this money. I want him to go over there. I want him to be a whoremonger. I want him to drink alcohol. I want him to have free sex. I want him to go over there and participate in the things of the world. I hope someday my son winds up in a pig pen. What kind of father would wish that on any of their children? Come on, somebody. But nonetheless, this young son wakes up one day. This young son makes a choice to leave the father. and he leaves his father and he goes out and he does all these things that he thinks would bring fulfillment. He chases the women. He drinks alcohol. He spends all of his money. He thinks he's living it up. And sooner or later, he comes out and he's full of need. He's lonely. He's stinky. He's living in a pig pen. And then all of a sudden, he comes to himself. He comes to himself and he goes, wait a minute, what am I doing? He begins to look at his life. Can I tell you something, men and women of God? At some point, we need to look at our life. We need to look at our relationships. We need to look at how we treat people. We need to look at ourselves. And I'm not talking about yourself on Sunday, because how many of you know you're different on Wednesday than you are on Sunday? Come on, somebody. He looks at himself and he goes, my life is a wreck. He looks at himself and he says, I've wasted everything. He looks at his situation. He smells of himself. He smells of pig poo. And he goes, I have got to make a choice to do something different in my life. Can I tell you, if you smell a little bit today and you smell like pig poop and you look around yourself and you're living in the mud and the muck and the mire, you need to come to yourself and you need to do something different and you need to quit relying on the world and you need to realize there's a heavenly Father that will lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay. You need to run back in humility to God the Father. Humility. Let me say this right quick. You know what I love about this young man? He was full of humility. We are so prideful and so arrogant and so self-righteous in the church nowadays. We think God owes us. We think everybody, we think we're entitled. This guy goes, man, I screwed this up. I'm not blaming my mama. I'm not blaming the school system. I'm not blaming the government. I'm not blaming my daddy. He goes, I made this choice. And he goes, I'm going to go back to my father with humility. I'm not going to go back the arrogant person that I was once before. You know, before he was arrogant. Give me my inheritance, Father. Give it to me. You owe it to me. But he comes back full of humility going, I screwed this up. I need your help. Help me, Father. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. Humility moves the hand of God. You want your prayers answered? You want God to move in your life? Quit demanding that God do it and quit acting like you deserve it and come to God with humility and go, you know what? Without you, God, I am nothing but a sinner headed to hell. But you know what? You're my Father and I love you and I appreciate you, God. Come to God with humility. Live your life with humility and it'll give you favor with God and with other people. The young man comes back. The father gave this son the opportunity to choose. You know what I love about this story is the son chose. The son chose to go back to live in the blessings of God. Mark 8:34. Can I tell you something? You have a choice in life. You have a choice to choose the predestined plans of God. Mark 8:34. Jesus said, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if. Everybody say if. Say if. If is a small word, but a big word. If, Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. If, it insinuates that you have a choice. If, let me ask you something today. Do you want to choose to follow God? Do you want to choose to honor God? Do you want to choose God's plans? If we choose to follow God, the son came to himself. He chose. The father ran all the way to him. We teach this in church, and it's a lie. You know what we teach in church? When the son got halfway home, God met him halfway there. Can I tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because that would insinuate that we have to work and do half of the work to get halfway home, and then God will come. No. When the son came to himself and hopped out of the pig pen, God ran all the way to where he was and saved him and touched him right there. That's what God does. And all of a sudden, this young man, they get home. You know what I love about this father? He didn't go, what is wrong with you? You're an idiot. Why did you make those stupid decisions? I raised you better than that. You know, we went to church over at the Bethel Assembly all those years, and you knew better than to make those decisions, you little heathen. Why did you do what you did? You deserve what you got. The father was full of compassion and mercy, and even though the son had messed up, you know what the father did? He ran and he grabbed him. And he said, you know what, I love you. He smelled like pig crap. He'd been in a pig pen, y'all. And the father grabbed him and loved him anyway and kissed him on the back of the neck. And he said, I'm so glad you're home. I love you. And he goes, let's celebrate. And he goes home and he tells all the slaves, bring out some new clothes. Put some new clothes on him. Get a ring. Put it on his finger. Put some cowboy boots on his feet. Come on, somebody. And you know what I love about the father? The father didn't say, let's have a vegan celebration, y'all. The father didn't say, let's go kill the goat and have some cabrito. Let's go get some chickens in it. And he said, no, no, no. Go get some beef, baby. Some good old grass-fed, homegrown beef. Let's cut us a big porterhouse, throw it on the fire. Let's celebrate. Let's dance. Let's have a good time. When the young man chose to come back home, God the Father celebrated who he was and what he had done. And can I just say something to you? Some of you need to choose to come back home today. You need to choose. You're living in a pig pen. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not a good person. I'm not saying God doesn't love you. But I'm saying you're choosing God's second best because you're choosing to live in the pig pen and live a life that you want to live rather than the life that God the Father wants you to live. And you're missing the blessings of God. Come on home. And you know what? I just love this right quick. I love that they celebrated because I'm going to tell you something. I think the church sucks at celebrating. We just do. You should look at your face right now. It should be Connor. Connor says, why won't they sing? Do we suck? Is our music no good? I said, I don't know. You better pray. He goes, we sing and we celebrate and God is good. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to celebrate and we got a victory. And God brings down the water and Jennifer's sawing on the fiddle and the kids are doing all this. And it's worshiping. And Connor says, I look out there at them like this. And they're like, why won't they celebrate? I said, because they don't understand. Because the enemy's got them distracted. Because it don't matter what songs you sing. And it don't matter what kind of instruments you got. If you have a heart and an attitude of gratitude towards God, and you knew that once you were far off, and now you've come back in relationship with God, and it's not anything you did, but it's everything that he did. And you know that it's a free gift. And you know that your God in heaven celebrates you and says, take out those old garments and put on the garment of praise. Take out that stinky stuff. Put on some new stuff. If we really knew and rejoiced in what God was doing for us, we would all celebrate every day of our lives. See, you proved my point. Praise the Lord. We don't know how to celebrate. Father celebrated because the son was restored and because the son came back home. Connor, y'all come help me close, please. Predestination. Yes. Do we believe in predestination? Absolutely, yes. Because here's the deal. I believe with all of my heart that before I was in my mother's womb, God knew me and he formed me and he had plans for me. We believe that here. It's scripture. That's why we come against abortion and we stand against abortion, because we believe that it's not man and woman's will, it's God's will that we be born, because we're created in the image of God. Before Cody was born, before Les Cochran and Donald Lee Rutledge came together and had sex, one man and one woman. That's how it works, because some people are confused nowadays. One man and one woman came together. Before that, God said, I'm going to give them this young son named Cody Kirk Cochran. And God went out in the future, and he goes, you know what I want for Cody? Cody's going to be a loudmouth, and he's going to be out of control, and I want Cody to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ for me someday. God did it, and God said, I'm going to bless him. God said, I'm going to let him pastor in Anson, and they're going to plant a church in Sweetwater, and they're also going to plant a church in Albany, and they're also going to plant a church in Stanford. God said, I got great plans for you, Cody. But guess what Cody did for about 25 years? I didn't choose the narrow way. And I went off this way, and I squandered my living doing this and doing that. And I maybe come back, and I veered back on, and I got back on course, and then I veered back off this way. For a lot of years, I missed the blessings of God, but finally, at one point in my life, from a lot of prayers and pressure from a blonde-headed fiddle-playing woman, I chose to walk the narrow, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I chose to walk the narrow, and I chose, and I stepped in 23 years ago to the calling that God had on my life with 13 people down there at that old little brick church down there. It was rough. It was tough. It was hard. But I made those choices, and I chose, not because I'm good, but just because I chose God. And I chose God, and I stepped into those blessings. It was hard. Since then, we've had to continue to choose every day, every moment. But I'm telling you, every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. To constantly choose every day to step into the blessings of God. There used to be some black folks that came from Hamlin over to the Bethel Assembly to sing. They call their church the Holy Ghost headquarters. Let me tell you something now. First time, it was the Lee family. L.J. Lee and his wife. He said, my name is Deacon Lee and her name is Sister Lee. That's all it was. Deacon Lee and Sister Lee came down to the old church down there. There was about 25 or 30 cowboys, and they had tambourines and guitars, and they were speaking in tongues and singing that black music. Wow! And there was a bunch of cowboys like, what have you got me into? But L.J. Lee sang the same song every time he come over. He had a big old gold ring on. He get to shaking his hand like he said, every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. He chose every day. He would testify to the fact of how they had a young son at age 12 that was lost and would die and died. The child died. And they say, you know what? We're just thankful that God loaned him to us for 12 years. That's all we deserve right there. Thank you, Lord, for them 12 years. And every day since then, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. He made a choice every day to walk in the plans and the blessings of God. Can I tell you something? Every day with Jesus will be sweeter than the day before. But it's not on God. It's on you and I to follow him. It's on you and I to stay close to him. It's on you and I. Let me tell you another story. I'm feeling these stories coming on today. Old man and old woman driving down the road in their old truck, you know. Old man's got his hand on the wheel, got his arm like this, and the old woman, she's sitting over here on the other side, got the window rolled down, got her arm out the window. They driving down the road. About that time, in a newer vehicle come blowing by this young couple. Man was driving. He had his left hand on the wheel, right arm around her. She's sitting right next under his arm like that right there. Blowed by this old couple. The old woman looked over at the old man and said, well, I remember when we used to sit like that. And the old man said, well, you're the one that moved. Some of us, we were sitting right under the arm of God. We'd been to the walk, we'd been to the retreat, we'd been here, we just recently got saved, God answered our prayers, and we're in relationship, and we're close, and this fire is going in us, and it's uncontrollable, and everything's going great and going good, and now God's still driving, and you sitting over there, and it's you that's moved, or it's me that's moved, it's not God, because he's sovereign, he's the same every day. And if we want to operate and step in those predestined plans, we got to move back over to God, and we got to choose him today. We got to choose him. Predestination? Absolutely. But we got to work to step into his plans. Would you stand on your feet and let's pray. Father, thank you for today and thank you for our many blessings. For everything that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, I pray for people in here that are in different places, different seasons in life. You know where they are, Lord. I pray that we all, with the humble heart, with humility and brokenness today, would look at our own lives and our own spiritual journey and our own heart, and we would recognize there needs to be some change, and we would get up and we would come back to you. And as we come back to you and you embrace us and you hold us and you celebrate us, we would learn to celebrate you every day of our life, Lord, because you're good and you're awesome and we want to live in your will. Speak to us and challenge us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's close with a song.
Here I am, down on